This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly sponsored by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. As a City supporter, we know you value delivery, and McDelivery is up there with the very best. You'll always be winning with McDelivery because just like Kevin De Bruyne, McDelivery puts your order right on a plate. So the only thing left to say is, are you in? Order now on the McDonald's app and you can also get rewards points delivered as well. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for you tomorrow. Only via the app at participating restaurants, 18 plus, rewards registration required, points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. A comfortable enough win sees City soar past the Eagles at Selhurst Park. It's not enough to send the Blues top, but the title race is well and truly still on. It's the Crystal Palace Review. I'm Amos Murphy.
I'm Ollie McCool.
And this is the City Report Podcast.
It's here for Gundogan! It is a thrilling start for Manchester City. The fastest ever goal in an FA Cup final. 2023 is the City treble year. Champions of England, FA Cup winners, and now, at last, champions of Europe. Manchester City are kings of Europe. Now they have their triple crown.
Welcome back to another brand new week. Well, Sunday, to kind of the week. It depends what sort of persuasion you are. Some people have that at the start of the week. Some others, I think if you have it at the start of the week, you're a lunatic. Speaking of lunatics, Ollie McCool, welcome back. I'm only kidding. I'm only kidding. How are you doing?
I thought we were going to go full Kate Abdo introducing Carragher, Henry and Micah, and I'm going to take the role of Micah Richards there. But yeah, I'm not too bad. Feeling very, very good after a kind of typical City win for the first time in a while, it feels like, really. A couple of them on the bounce. Can't really complain. How about you, mate? How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm. Are you saying I'm as glamorous as Kate Abdo? Because I'll certainly take that. Can speak a little German as well, so maybe there's
there's the link. We'll claim that.
Yeah, I think that's probably the only link. Yeah, feeling good. It's the weather has turned up in our part of the world. I know you're a little bit more northern than me, but yeah, it's warm. It's been a bit blustery, but I'm fully in short season now, so my favourite time of the year. So yeah, we'll talk football though, because I wanted to sort of jump on today and obviously 12:30 kickoff, giving us a bit more time after the game, so really blitz this review and go through the initial feelings and the initial thoughts, because you might have heard there's quite a big football match happening early next week, so we want to sort of get this one out of the way so we can turn attention to Real Madrid later on in the week. But just basically, Ollie, quick thoughts. 4-2 victory. We've not really seen that scoreline a lot from the top of my head. It's usually been 3-1 for City this season, but yeah, 3 points nonetheless.
I think back, our last 4-2 was also against Crystal Palace at home last season in that comeback from 2-0 down. So that's quite interesting. I mean, it just kind of sums it up, isn't it? It's always a tough game against Crystal Palace one way or another. But how great is it to win a 12:30? I think it just kind of makes the whole weekend better, doesn't it? You know, if you win the 12:30, then you're not in a mood for the rest of the weekend. But no, really nice win from City. You know, there were problems in the performance, and we'll dive into those. But I think overall, you can't really complain too much. You know, a side that struggled to attack at times this season, putting up 4 goals, creating plenty of chances. Grealish looked absolutely enchanted out there. His feet were just pure magic. And Kevin De Bruyne being the superman he always is, I don't want to complain too much, because it was a really good, solid performance. You don't want to call it one of the great performances of all time, but with the inconsistency we've seen from City this season, it's just really good to get a kind of nice chop off the block win almost.
Yeah, and I think there's been a, as is always the case, look, City's standards are so high. I don't blame anybody for sort of maybe picking the bones out of things, but you have to, and we have to analyse this victory in the context of Tuesday evening, which is a game away to Real Madrid. And when the team news dropped that Phil Foden was out of the team, I know there's a few people maybe scratching their heads a little bit, but that's, I guess, why you take Kevin De Bruyne and Erling Haaland out of the team on Wednesday night, because these guys can't play every game. And just sort of on that first half, I'd be interested to see what you made of it, because I think we've had halves this season where City have gone in ahead, but they haven't been as composed and controlled as that, at least in the attacking half of the pitch. In the defensive half, Ollie, it was a little bit more shaky, wasn't it? Rodri, I can't remember who tweeted it, so apologies for not sort of crediting, but someone saying Rodri's doing his very best to try and make sure his unbeaten record doesn't go on any further, because his passing was sloppy. I thought Stones was a bit sloppy in the build-up to the goal, and defensively, it was just a little bit shaky.
Yeah, I mean, going back to the kind of three-man defence almost with how Rico Lewis just constantly pushed into midfield, which is what we expect when he's in the team. So I'm not going to criticise that. But in terms of the three defenders, you know, Stones coming back in for his first start in a few weeks, obviously international break in between when he got injured. It wasn't a classic from him in the first half. Rodri, I think that was his poorest performance we've seen in 2024. Probably poorest performance we've seen this season in that first half. But at the end of the day, when you're playing a guy every single week, he's finally going to have a game where he doesn't look, you know, the 8, 9, 10 out of 10 that we expect from him all the time. The goal that we gave away to start the game, sloppy, not great defending. But it all comes from that pass from Stones to Alvarez. If Stones makes a better pass, there's no issue there. But the fact is, the good news is City didn't drop their heads. They didn't go start sulking about like we've seen them do sometimes this season when they've gone a goal down. They just kept on with the game plan and turned it around to at least one all in the first half. So I'm not gonna complain too much apart from that one lax moment. You know, Crystal Palace looked like a team who were there to give it a go, which is not what we've seen from Palace before. Not for a while, at least. You know, normally if they've came to there, hadn't got a result, or we've gone down there, they've been set piece FC and just putting 11 men behind the ball. It was actually quite nice to play a team who are leaving some space in behind, who are taking a few risks. And you know, I think Palace fans have been quite complimentary of the style they're playing, whilst necessarily knowing the results aren't going to come just yet. So overall, I'm not going to complain too much. We've seen much worse from City this season. We've seen better, but we've seen much, much worse too. So, you know, no real complaints. And the fact that, you know, we turn it around so early in the second half means it's kind of not redundant, but, you know, it makes it feel a lot better.
It did feel like City needed a big second half, because they'd played really well in that first half, but they'd gone into the halftime break, obviously 1-1, and you sat there thinking quietly, this is quite a big half of football in terms of the context of the season, what's to come. Obviously, City, if you look at the title contenders, had the on paper easiest fixture of the weekend, and I think that was the case for Arsenal and for Liverpool in midweek. They had games you'd expect them to win, whereas City's was a potential banana skin, and you want to take advantage of playing early, getting the 3 points on the board, but also beating quote-unquote lesser opposition and getting a couple of goals under the belt, which obviously City did all three of. But just taking it back to that sort of first half before we get onto the real juicy good stuff, Julian Alvarez made his return to the starting 11. He was in midfield playing alongside Kevin De Bruyne, obviously started as the number 9 on Wednesday night. No Kovacic, no Nunes in the 11. Firstly, did that shock or surprise you? And secondly, do you think it worked well? Do you think it worked poorly? Mixed reception as usual to Alvarez in midfield.
Yeah, I mean, I think I predicted Kovacic to start before the game, because it makes the most sense. He's an actual midfielder. He's played really well this season, especially in the last few games when he's come in to the starting 11. He's one of those names that you see on the team sheet and you can't really ever have a problem with it, because he's just, you know, you know what you're getting from Kovacic. Alvarez, he's kind of the experiment in midfield, has been so up and down this season, and so many people are so willing to jump on the criticism for it. But I think you can kind of understand where Pep's coming from it tactically. He you know, he wanted to rest Foden today. He wanted to rest Bernardo today. And he wanted someone who was going to press like hell for Kevin De Bruyne and do some of Kevin De Bruyne's running for him. You know, that's what happens when your star player gets to 32, 33. He's having hamstring injuries a little bit more regularly than people would like. You have to be a bit more careful with him. You have to put a kind of a more loose cannon like Alvarez in, even if it's not particularly natural. But Pep's obviously seen enough from him this season in that position to keep to persist with it. You know, you can say you maybe wouldn't want to do it in the biggest of games. You know, we saw at Anfield the kind of how bad it can be at times. You know, may not be the position for it. But a game against Crystal Palace, even away from home, if you can't trust him, if you can trust him at Anfield, you can trust him here. I don't think the performance was anywhere near as bad as some people are going to make out. But I just think that's a kind of common thread with City fans, especially online this season. You know, they kind of pick a player and you're either for or against them, and that's your position forever now, it seems. And I just think Julian Alvarez has done perfectly well in a position he's not entirely familiar with, in a system that is very, very complicated, with a team that hasn't been as consistent as most people would expect or prefer. His performance yesterday was fine. I don't think it was awful. I don't think it was great, but he did what he was in the team for. He pressed, he ran, he kept Kevin De Bruyne quite, you know, clean almost in a way, and you know it worked for Kevin because he got two goals and an assist. So I'm not going to complain about it. I'm saying this a lot in this podcast, but I don't think you can complain too much, which is weird for me, but I'm going to take it.
It's that meme, isn't it? Look at us. The two of us having a bouncy podcast. Footmob, rated him 6.4, and I think that's exactly where he comes in. You know, he wasn't man of the match contender. He was taken off after 74 minutes for, Matias Nunes, I guess, sort of picked up his position in the team, and okay, Nunes did well, but Nunes is his first season, and we've seen successes, we've seen failures, we've seen mixed performances in their first season under Guardiola. Nunes, for me, is slap bang in the middle. He's been great at times, he's been shaky at others. People already writing him off again. I don't know why, but it's a game of opinions, really, isn't it? One opinion that I guess was unanimous, really, was the sentiment towards City's two youngsters who came back in the team. And I know you're mildly obsessed with a certain Rico Lewis, like we all are. So we'll start with his showing, because it was masterful, really, wasn't it? 90 minutes played, he got a goal, he had two shots. 50 out of 58 passes completed. That's a percentage of 86. Created two chances. What else have we got here? Won all of his tackles, albeit one. Four recoveries, five duels won. Ground duels, 5 out of 6. You know, the list goes on, and he is only 19. I sound a little bit like people speak about Jude Bellingham, but it's worth noting because you forget it at times. And I think maybe more than other teenagers and youngsters in the Premier League, and I don't mean this as a disservice, and having watched the documentary, I know he'd put me clean on my arse if I said it to his face, but you can tell he's a little bit leaner, I guess, than the other sort of players. You know, there's room for him to bulk up, but by God, he packs a punch, and on the football pitch, you're not messing with him at all. It was sensational, wasn't it, from Rico Lewis?
Rico Lewis, I you can't praise him enough for what he's managed to do in this team over the last couple of seasons. You know, when he came into the team, I still remember his first game against Sevilla, and when he got that famous goal, and you're just thinking, God, this kid is just fantastic. You know, he just looks like he's not making mistakes. And yes, he's had a couple of bad games at times, especially when he's been tasked up against a particularly fast winger or something, or playing left back against Spurs like we saw last year. But the last two games, it's been almost coming of age for him all, really. You know, he just looks, if he was a couple of inches taller, you wouldn't be able to find a problem with him. And, you know, I think the fact that, you know, he's trained.
That's part of the, I totally agree. And I think he will sort of spurt up a little bit as the years go on. But at the same time, that's part of the beauty, isn't it? Because he is this little pocket rocket. And I think, well, defenders and players are becoming more used to it now because we've seen him a bit more often. But to take it back to the, I feel like we're going to reference the documentary all over, but that Tottenham game where sort of Guardiola came out and spoke about the fact that no one was standing up for him, you do look at him and you think, oh, you could probably get the better of him, or at least Premier League players probably do. But when you get going with him, Jesus Christ, you can't get the ball off him.
Oh, he's brilliant. He's brilliant. It's like the ball control of David Silva with the punt, with like the energy and the kind of Duracell bunny battery worth of Bernardo Silva almost. He's a renegade in that midfield because you just don't know what he's going to do with the ball. You know, so one minute he's coming, he's running back at right back to help out defensively. The next he's up playing as a 10, you know, playing on the overlap. His link up with Oscar Bobba against Palace was just phenomenal. I mean, what a week it's been for City's academy. You know, Foden getting a hat trick and Rico putting in a great performance against Villa, and then Oscar Bobba and Rico
Cole
today.
Cole Palmer hat trick.
Cole Palmer hat trick. Yeah. Well, I mean, two penalties and a deflection is a bit different, but you know, I just think if we're gonna have these talents around, you know, in the squad, we may as well get the best out of them. And, you know, when Rico Lewis can come into the side today in a potential banana skin game, Oscar Bob as well, you know, rotated side, you know, a relatively new role for him. He hasn't really played on the right wing as much for City as we'd expect. He's usually been out on the left.
What did you make of that? Because I was gonna use that as the final talking point before the break, but I guess we can get onto it now. I'm looking at Transfer Market now, and that states it's the first real time we've seen him there. He came on against Man United, but obviously that was in added time, I think it was, in the home fixture. I felt a little bit like with Doku on the right-hand side in midweek, it added that semblance of balance that side has almost lacked a little bit. Foden's played there, but he's wanted to come in. Bernardo Silva, we know what he can do. He's at the Champions League final there. He's wonderful and scores plenty of goals there, but you kind of miss him a little bit if he's not in the middle. It's certainly one to watch, isn't it? Maybe not in the big matches, but those filler games. Just looking ahead, Luton next weekend, for example.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Oscar Bob, I don't think he's put a foot wrong in any game he's played this season, really. And, you know, we all, as City fans, you know, we all like seeing players come through the academy, whether they're local lads like Foden and Rico who've been around in the club since they were 8 years old, or whether they're foreign buyers who came over at 16 like Oscar. But he just hasn't put a foot wrong in any of the games he's played. And he's played in some, you know, he's been trusted in some big moments, you know, coming on in midfield against Wolves to try and win us the game, coming on against Newcastle, scoring the winner, a start here against Palace, starts in the Champions League. He just performs. And it was another one yesterday, just absolutely masterful performance. Exactly what you want to see from a City winger. You know, and that's the thing. More and more of these players coming into the side just look like they were born to play in the side. They don't look out of place. And I just think that's the biggest compliment you can pay them. If they come into the side and they don't look out of place, then they're already ahead of, you know, a lot of other academy talents around the league and around Europe, really, in my opinion. If you can break into the City team and look at the level, performing at the level of someone like, you know, looking at home alongside Kevin De Bruyne, alongside Bernardo Silva, alongside Erling Haaland, you're doing bloody well for yourself. And Oscar Bob is just an example of that. He was brilliant, absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, and it takes a lot to get the trust of Guardiola in a Premier League title running. To start a fixture is sort of as strong a showing of trust, I think, you can get off that manager, especially sort of given what's on the line in terms of well, immortality, I guess. That'll do for part one of this show. Join us after this quick break as we speak about the main men from City's win against Palace. Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The Etihad Stadium really is wonderful at this time of the season, and the same goes for McDelivery. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. Welcome back to the City Report podcast, your home for daily Manchester City content. Start of a gigantic week for Manchester City Football Club. They look to go on, do something that no team has ever done before. A double treble within that mix would be four Premier League titles and potentially back-to-back FA Cups. It sort of puts into perspective a little bit when you say it like that. This is start of what I imagine could be a hectic, fingers crossed anyway, couple of months for City. Okay then, Jack Grealish, he's played 180 minutes in the last 4 days. He's looked sensational in those 180 minutes and specifically against Palace. And the irony is there to see, isn't it? Having a hand, a very strong hand in all four goals that City scored, yet statistically anyway, not one of them goes down as a goal or an assist, and maybe a little bit of a sort of a nod to his time at City, but it doesn't take away to his sort of his influence in the game. And it's great to see, because we know he can do it. We just haven't seen it so far this season. But if you're going to pick a time for him to come into his peak for the run-in, it's obviously now.
It's David Silva all over again, really, isn't it? You know, putting in a masterful performance over 90 minutes and you walk away without a stat to your name. I love talking about Jack Grealish. I love Jack Grealish. And I just love when he puts in a performance like that, and no one can find a fault with it. Not even the people who've spent months and months criticizing him, years at this point, actually. He is a phenomenon. And I just think games like today prove why he's so important. He brings something to this team that no other player does, really. You know, we can talk about the control factor, and other players do bring that. But you look at the smoothness of his game. You look at just how kind of agile he is, and almost how he scares defenses. Really, you know, they do still put two men on him half the time. They always have to keep an eye on him because he stretches the pitch and then he comes in gracefully and can just find those little dink passes or can put it across. He's so multifaceted as a player. He just brings so much, and a performance like that, you're just watching him and you're just going, finally, we're seeing. Everyone can see this. Nobody can doubt this anymore.
On Jack prime Grealish. Time as well.
Exactly.
On prime time with the eyes of the world.
Perfect.
Watching.
Perfect. Yeah, I mean, me and you, we've been two of his biggest champions on this podcast, however many times. I think I say it every time he puts in a performance. It's always us two covering it, saying, look, this is what he can do. This is what he does do. And if you can't see it, that's not his fault. That's your fault. And just another example of it. And it's one of those where if he's not in the starting lineup for a game like we're getting on Tuesday against Real Madrid in the Bernabeu, then I'm going to be dumbfounded. Even with him playing 290 minutes this week already, you know, you need him for the games against Real Madrid. You need him for a potential semi-final against Arsenal or Bayern Munich. You need him in a game against Chelsea at Wembley or another Manchester United Cup final. This is a time of season where Jack Grealish comes alive and City's need for him becomes completely clear. Whether it's a game against Crystal Palace or whether it's a game against Luton or whether it's a game, you know, against some of the biggest teams in the world in the Champions League. Yeah. It's where Jack Grealish comes alive, and it's where I just hope if we're going to get anything out of this season trophy-wise, well, more trophy-wise, it's going to be because of Jack Grealish in some way or another.
There's a lot to be said about somebody out on that wing just putting the foot on the ball, scanning what's available to them, playing these little cute inside passes, reverse passes into De Bruyne, playing the 1-2s in and around the box. And look, every player in this team has their use, and they wouldn't be in Manchester City's squad if they didn't. But that is, when you speak about what sort of attributes are best suited to Pep Guardiola's team, that's one of them. And you need the Mavericks, you need the Kevin De Bruyne, you need the Jeremy Doherty, you need the Haaland, who's going to be in and around the box sniffing out goals. And we'll move on to him in a second. But just the ability to draw players out as well, and I don't necessarily just mean in terms of fouls, but the space he creates for others by attracting so much attention on his own is again an absolute vital part of what City are doing. And it's starting to look quite nice out on those wings, isn't it? Obviously, Jeremy Doherty had a sensational game against Aston Villa. Grealish played really well against Villa, backed it up with a potential man of the match performance. He's certainly in the category, although I think a certain Ginger Belgium would have something to say about that. And feeling good about that one. Quickly, before we get on to the main man, Kevin De Bruyne, Erling Haaland, he returned to the score sheet, dropped by Pep Guardiola in unceremonious fashion on Wednesday night, although certainly not. It depends what outlet you're getting your information from for that. Firmly rested, I think we can all agree on. But he was kept quiet. I think Anderson and specifically Ward at the back for Crystal Palace did a really good job of making sure they eliminated his biggest strengths. But as we've seen so often, you give him well, not even half a chance, a quarter chance, and it helps when you've got Kevin De Bruyne in form like that. But a tidy finish, not really the goals he's been putting away this season from his point of view.
Yeah, I mean, he's having, I think many people have called it a bad season, and he's still got, what, 30 goals?
Yeah.
he's a freak. He's an absolute freak. You know, just because it isn't 50, just because it isn't 60, doesn't mean it's a terrible season. His finishing has been lax at times, but I just think it's important for him to just get a goal, you know, however important.
Especially ahead of this run-in, for sure.
Yeah, exactly.
Just to get off his back.
Yeah. Not extend the goal streak too long. I don't know how long it was. I don't think it was too bad anyway. But you know, he's a player that thrives on scoring goals. He's a player that looks better when he's, you know, when you can see he's got a smile on his face. And the only thing that puts a smile on his face really is scoring goals. He doesn't care whether it's scoring the winner or scoring, you know, a third or a fourth or a fifth or whatever. He just likes scoring goals. So you know, just to see him do that, and you know, he had some good chances, you know. Henderson and Net for Palace had a solid game, especially in the first half. And then ultimately, this is what happens when you've got players like we have. The talent just overcomes their ability to reach their limits almost. And I think that's kind of what it is with Haaland. Sometimes it's a toe poke, sometimes it's a bigger game. But yeah, there you go.
Have a guess when his last goal for Manchester City was. Just random quick fire guess.
Was it
the derby?
The derby at home, was that 4 or 5 games ago now?
He went on a 3-game scoreless streak for City. And granted, don't get me wrong, he obviously didn't play against Aston Villa, so that could have been 4 had he not scored in that. But we're talking FC Copenhagen in the Champions League was his last goal for City before the game against Crystal Palace. He obviously scored against United before that. He got 5 against Luton in the game before that. So technically, you're talking, what, 8 goals from the last 6-7 fixtures for City. I mean, shite, sell him, bin him off. If that's what your striker's putting up, then I don't want it. Granted, the Luton game probably skews the numbers there slightly, but you're still talking, what, 4 or 5 goals in the last 6 games without that for Haaland. And yeah, he's vital for City. I think we can all wax lyrical about the style of performance against Aston Villa and the fluidity and how dynamic City look going forward. But Julian Alvarez isn't Erling Haaland, and there's a reason for that. And there's a reason Erling Haaland is one of the highest paid players in, well, European football, because he can do those sort of goal scoring exploits. And hopefully they continue over the next couple of weeks. Kevin De Bruyne, then finally, we've got a, you know, good chunk of time to finish up and finish about him. So yeah, I mean, if there was ever an angry performance from Kevin De Bruyne, I guess that was that.
I called him Superman in the first half of this episode. He's, you know, are there words good enough for Kevin De Bruyne anymore? Are there words that we haven't said a million times, not just on this podcast, but in all of the kind of media coverage that he's all the regular media coverage around City? You know, 100th goal for the club today, just another masterful performance. It's, you know, it's quite funny after the midweek where everyone's saying, oh, Phil Foden's now ready to take his crown. He's taken over, sell him to the Saudis in the summer for 75 million.
Didn't he?
Yeah, he did. And that's the thing I love about Kevin. You know, just when you think maybe he's coming towards the end, he just turns up in big games, big moments, big goals. You know, because you think if he hadn't scored that screamer in the first half, that could have turned into a bit of an edgy first half almost. Mm. It could have got a bit edgy, and that could obviously change the dynamic of the game in the second. It's just, he's just masterful. He, every time I watch him, it's just a master at work. And whether it's the rest of the season and maybe next season we've got left with him, whether it might just be the rest of this season or whether he puts another couple of years on that contract, I'm going to cherish every single second of it. Because whenever we come to the end with Kevin De Bruyne, we're going to miss him. I don't care what anyone says, we're going to miss that guy. And his performances like this. And yeah, you can go, oh, it was only Crystal Palace, but I don't really care. It's Kevin De Bruyne. He's the best player we've ever seen. And this is to wear the shirt. He's the best player I think the Premier League's ever seen in midfield, one of the best players I've ever seen with my own eyes. No matter if the goals come against Man United, Liverpool, Crystal Palace, Burnley, I don't care. I'm going to enjoy every single one of them However many are left, and however many games we get out of him from here on in, he is going to be so important in this run-in. So just to see him, you know, a bit like I said with Erling Haaland, I don't know what this, you know, streak was like. He came back into the team in January with a really good run, and then went a bit down in the last couple of weeks, but last month or so. But he's just phenomenal. He's just absolutely phenomenal. When he wants to switch a game on its head, he switches a game on its head. When he wants to just score a screamer from 20 yards, he'll score a screamer from 20 yards. There's nothing he can't do, whether right foot or left foot. And, you know, it's just, I mean, I've lavished so much praise on him already, but he never, ever will feel enough for Kevin De Bruyne for what he's given to this club and what he continues to give for this club. You know, you'd expect he's going to be one of the main men next week at the Bernabeu. You'd expect he's going to be one of the main men at Wembley in the FA Cup semi-final. You'd expect he's going to be one of the main people we turn to in the Premier League to see if we can hunt down this fourth title in a row. As key as he's been to the last three, just a phenomenal, phenomenal player with a performance just reminding everybody, hey, I'm still here. I'm still the king of this club. I'm still the number one here. Phil's great and all. We love Phil Foden. His time has come just as much. But Kevin De Bruyne is still the main man at Manchester City for now.
Mm. Proving himself as an anti-monarchist by dumping on the Palace like that. It was fantastic from De Bruyne, and timely, I guess, is possibly the best way to describe it. I know there's some criticisms, and it's our job to come on here and see and speak about what we see and you know, criticise and pick the bones out of things. And I think it is fair after that Arsenal performance, where I reckon even he would have said his standards were below par, and we didn't even get a sniff of the sort of the brilliance against Palace. And again, people can bemoan it's only Palace, you've got to do it in the big games, but sometimes those games are a little bit more difficult. In fact, Arsenal probably played even less expansive than Palace, and I said I'd leave my Mikel Arteta agenda alone from that game, but I don't think it's possible. 100 goals as well for the football club, and as you say, I echo that sentiment. He is sort of, well, I've said it before, I think he's the best player to ever play for Manchester City. He continues to rack up those moments, and God, who knows where it goes from here? Hopefully a couple more years and quite a few more trophies. Ollie, though, that'll do for today's review. Thank you very much.
No problem. Thanks for having me. Let's hope it's another great week with two more wins at Manchester City, at Manchester City Football Club. I'm a bit nervous, fingers if crossed. You can't tell.
Yeah, I think as soon as we get past the Palace game, the nerves will start to rack up. But listeners, thank you very much. Make sure you stick with us throughout the week. Monday through to Friday, we'll have coverage of this football club all the way through. Until next time, it's been a pleasure. We'll see you later. Make sure you're geared up for Man City's end-of-season run-in with McDelivery. Great food delivered right to your door. By using McDelivery, you won't miss a moment of City's crucial run-in, and just like Kevin De Bruyne, they deliver your order exactly where you want it. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. Are you in? At participating restaurants only, 18 and plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.